Get this thing started. Okay, great. And is that working? Yeah, every once in a while I point, there we go. Every once in a while you point it at the screen and go, oh, that's not the right way to go. Okay, great. So anyway, good to be here. It's, we've been outside of the States for about 18 days. The church that we planted a church about 2 years ago, and it was Jan and I and one other person. So church planting. And now we have, I think, 27, 28, and they're all baby Christians pretty much. So, you know, when the expression, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So we don't know what's going on back there, but we probably ought to get back pretty soon. Anyway, it's so great to be with you, to be here. It's wonderful, being with our friends, Malcolm and Penny. And so I'm going to start by a question. All right, so we get a little participation, audience participation. Okay, what word or words in the Bible are used of a saved person the most? Maybe it would be redeemed, or maybe it would be forgiven, or maybe it would be Christian. Well, we know it's not Christian. Those, you know. Maybe it would be disciple. What do you think the most common word or phrase for of a saved person would be? Oh, she saw the title of the sermon. She cheated. All right. Yeah, the answer is saved, maybe, disciple, forgiven. No, it's in Christ. All right. And so if you want to know how to become a Christian, ask yourself how to be in Christ. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, ask what it means to be in Christ. And so this is a topic that's a very good one. In fact, I'm a scientist. We do graphs. Although scientists never do pie charts. We do not do pie charts. All right. We do XY graphs, you know, but my friend made this. So there you go. In fact, I think it is 164 times the phrase in Christ or in the Lord are used of a Christian. So when we talk about life in Christ, we're talking about life, the life of a Christian. Now, you were not always in Christ. Would that be a reasonable statement? In fact, we could read Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and read about life outside of Christ. Not a good story. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Let's go there. It says, as for you, I don't know about you, on the young side, so I'm not pointing at you. As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgressions, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, including, I'm afraid, you and you, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, you were an object of wrath. But because, oh, you know, just about the best word in the Bible is the word but. Oh man, that word but, it just comes in at just the right time. You know what I'm saying? All right. At one time, we were all outside of Christ. But then we came into Christ, yes? And what does the Bible talk about coming into Christ? Ephesians 2:12, one more. By the way, the sermon today, sometimes I do sermons on holiness, on judgment, you know, things like that. This morning, it's all like the awesomeness of being in Christ. This is an encouragement sermon. It's really a sermon about the grace of God. So we're having the 3-minute introduction about the bad news, and then the rest of the time about the good news. Okay, got that? So it's good to have the bad news before you get the good news, yes? Makes the good news seem so much better, right? So you were an object of wrath, opposed to Christ, following the ways of the world. We're going to skip the but part for now. We'll come back there, okay? We're going to come back there. Let's go down to Ephesians 2, verse 12. And it says, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That is all of us at one time outside of Christ. Oh, verse 13, there's that word but. Okay, but now. All right, so at one time we were outside of Christ. And then the question is, well, when did we come into Christ? When did we come into Christ? Okay, he said this clicker. So what we're going to do is, I'll go like this, we'll pretend I'm actually doing it, and then he'll push the button back. There we go. Galatians 3:26-27. See, if you're outside of a building, what's the preposition we use to talk about being in the building? Into Christ, right? Because at one time you're outside of Christ, and then you came into Christ. Yes, Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26-27. It says, so, and by the way, the expression in Christ, that's going to be the key. In fact, this verse starts with something we have in Christ. That's not why I'm in this passage for now. In Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. That's going to be one of our 27 points in our sermons, right? 27-point sermon. Yes, 27-point sermon. Okay, one of them is children of God in Christ. But we're getting to the, that's not why we're reading this passage right now. For all of you were baptized into Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew, Gentile, slave, nor free, all of male and female, for you all are one in Christ. You know, we were baptized into Christ. Does the Bible mention believing into Christ? No. Does it mention repenting into Christ? Does it mention praying into Christ? No. The only biblical concept ever associated with into Christ is baptism. Because that's when you enter into Christ. Actually, there's another one, right? Bible experts out there, let's see. It's not up on the screen. Oh, that would be so sad. No, oh, it is up on the screen. Okay. Romans 6:4. So I'm not going to wait for the answer. Okay. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. I'm sorry, I need to start in verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You know, there's a scene in Matthew. It's the scene of the great banquet. And the banquet master comes in, and there's a bunch of people. They're all there. And he sees this one guy. He's there. He's got on the wrong clothes. But he's got on the wrong clothes. Send him out of here. And the guy was shocked. He thought for sure he was in. But he hadn't been baptized into Christ. And when we're baptized into Christ, we're clothed with Christ. So that's how we get into Christ. But that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning. I'm talking about the things we have in Christ. So let's see if we get lucky. See, see that delay was him pushing the button. Thank you very much. So we're going to talk about some of the things we have in Christ. Oh, we have so much in Christ. The first thing we have in Christ is redemption. That's one of those religious words. You know what I'm saying? Redemption. What does that mean? Let's read our passage. Ephesians 1 verse 7. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures this morning. We were having a discussion. Somebody said A-E-I-U. I do go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. But I hear A for Galatians. Oh, pork chops. Pork chops. Okay, that sounds good. But anyway, either way, we're Ephesians, which is eat, of go eat pork chops. Ephesians 1 verse 7. All right, and so basically we're going to look at the things we have if we're in Christ. By the way, if you're not in Christ, if you've not been baptized into Christ, what we're talking about this morning does not apply to you. So you might want to take care of that. Something to think about. Okay? Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says here, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Where do we find redemption? In Him. Redemption. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I was having a discussion about Colossians. One of the brothers here from Lagos, he's been studying Colossians a lot. Where is he? There he is. Okay. So we're going to go to Colossians. There is probably at least 24 mentions of the word in Christ there in Colossians. All right, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Another passage talks about finding redemption in Christ. It says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So what is redemption? It's a big religious word. So I looked it up on Wikipedia, and they'll give us the right definition. All right? And it's kind of given us the general definition. The Christian definition is a more specific. But it says the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. That's what we have in Christ. It's kind of like a pawn shop. And the pawn shop holder was Satan. And you were in Satan's pawn shop. And who left you there? Well, actually, you left you there. You sold yourself to him. Right? We were slaves in Egypt. But Moses led us out of Egypt. At the cost of what? The blood of a lamb put on the wooden beam. And we too were led out of Egypt because of blood that was shed on a wooden beam so we could leave slavery. Pharaoh owned Israel as Satan owned us. And it says in John 8, 34 and 35, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone in this room was a slave. But in Christ, we have redemption. We desperately needed to be redeemed. And in John 8, 36, it says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So one of the amazing things we have is we've been bought back. God came into that pawn shop and said, I'm paying the price. Kind of like what Hosea did for Gomer, right? Gomer had sold herself to her pimp, essentially. And God said to Hosea, go buy her back. Love her again. So he went and did what Jesus did. He brought her back. Another thing we have in Christ is holiness or saints. So let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Now, holiness is not a big topic at work. Do people talk about being holy at work? They mention that in your neighborhood. How are you doing on your holiness? You know, your saintliness there. Every time we have a baptism there in Merced, we've had a lot of them, we have a zeroth birthday party. You know, we do that. We have a zero birthday party because a year later it's their first spiritual birthday, right? So then Jen always puts happy birthday to Saint Josh or whoever got baptized. Amen? Because we're saints, right? But where are we saints? In Christ. Only in Christ are we made holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ. I thought you said holy. I thought you said, yeah, sanctified. The word sanctified, the word holy in Greek is the same word. It's the word saint. What's that mean? It means called apart, separate from the world. Yeah, holiness is not a super big topic, you know. In the schools, they talk about being holy in your school there. No, they don't really talk about being holy. They not say, well, aren't you? I'm so glad you're really holy. All right? It's not a big topic. But were you holy outside of Christ? OMG, right? Holiness is mentioned 200 times in the New Testament. But where is holiness found? In Christ. To be holy means to be set apart. When you came into Christ, God set you apart from the world. And that's a good thing, because on the day of judgment, I want to be set apart. I'm bound to be with Christ. And he made us holy, pure and clean, so that we could serve God. Philippians 1 verse 1, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Do you feel holy? If you're in Christ, God says, holy. How holy? Holy. Holy. All right. Yeah, we have holiness in Christ. Purity, sanctified. Now we're going to look at a number of things we have. We have righteousness in Christ. We have holiness in Christ. But these things are a matter of what I would call already but not yet. Okay? There we go. There you go. Because, see, when we were baptized into Christ, God said, holy. But you and I know that's a process at the same time, isn't it? Because when we came into Christ, God said, holy. And then in Christ, we become holy. I hope so, over time. But then when Christ comes back, holy. So these things are already but not yet. Because when you're baptized into Christ, God said, redeemed. But you know what? The process of being a Christian is the process of being redeemed. So in Christ, we've been redeemed. In Christ, we're being redeemed. And in Christ, when Christ comes back, we will be flat out redeemed. But the nice thing is, I believe God sees us as we will be. He declares us that when we're baptized. But then he sees us as that. Even though the final consummation of that will be when he comes back. So we've been made holy. We're being made holy. And we will be made holy. Do you see how all three are true? Aren't you glad, though, that God sees us as we will be? Because we know, you know, a good analysis. Holy, holy, maybe not so much. So as we look at these things, I want us to realize that these are things that God declared us when we were baptized into Christ, but these are things we become over time in Christ. It's that deification. I love the Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, that focuses more on the deification, the becoming of Christianity, rather than sort of the Western idea of, you know, this legal thing that happened on at that time. All right, a few other things we have in Christ. Let's see here. Oh, see, he beat me. And then the clicker worked. So we have to go back one. Okay. The one time the clicker worked is the one he beat me to the button there. Okay. We are made righteous. Where is righteousness found? In Christ. That's correct. Actually, we're going to read that verse in a minute. I want to just talk about it a little bit. My experience as a human being is everybody wants to be good. You know, even the criminal, you know, even the mafia guy wants to think that they're a good person. You know, they do good stuff for the people in the neighborhood while they're murdering people and all that sort of stuff. You know, and on campus, I've shared my faith with thousands of students in the last 2 years. I've gotten, I think, over 700 phone numbers, so multiply that by 10. How many people? Yeah, that's a lot of people. The most common thing I hear when I say, hey, do you want to become part of our Christian group? They say, I'm good. Now, you know what I want to say. I don't say it, but you know what I want to say, right? No, you're not. Because we're only good in Christ. Right? What did Jesus say to that rich young ruler? He says, no one is good except God alone. Well, that was true in the year 29.5 AD. All right? But somewhere after Jesus died and was raised from the dead, God declared, good, righteous. Isn't that awesome? What would you pay to be declared righteous? What is the value? Because like I already quoted Mark 10, 17 through 19, he says, no one is good. And then there's Romans 3, 9 through 12. No one is righteous, not even one. Unless, of course, you're in Christ. And God says, righteous. Righteous. What's that mean, righteous? That means right. It's almost the same meaning as justified. And the word justified has the literal meaning of aligned. It's like you got the left hand rail of the railroad, and hopefully the right one's aligned. And this is God, and this is you in Christ. Righteous. I looked this one up. Instead of looking up on Wikipedia, I go in for the old-fashioned version, which is Merriam-Webster. And it says, righteous means free from guilt or sin, morally right or justified. Like I said, justified and righteous have almost the exact same meaning in English and in the Greek. But we haven't read that passage yet, so let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. I just keep going back there. 2 Corinthians 3 through 5, I've just been spending a lot of time there lately. All right, 2 Corinthians, all right, 5, verse 21. It says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Right? Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. Like I said, that was true. But in Christ, you're good. In fact, you're all good. Philippians 3, 8 through 9. This is a celebration thing. I know our British audience tend to be really quiet in church. As an American, it's kind of hard. I mean, you guys are so quiet. I think like you're not even with me or something like that. I know you're not going to say amen and praise. I know you're not going to do that. I remember once I was in Delhi and Mark Templer was saying, you Indians, you need to get flat fired up. And the Indians are like, all right. So, you know, I know you're not going to make any noise. But I'll just let you know, for me, hearing nothing, it's just, you know, all right. Anyway, Philippians 3, 8, and 9. All right, that's the pop, or sorry, the pork of Goy pork chops, right? Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9. Here we go. It says, this is Paul talking about himself. It says, I'll go back to verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. The righteousness that is found in him. Because God imparts righteousness. Now, this is one of those already but not yet things, is it not? I mean, were you perfectly righteous this way? I'm not going to point it. I've been doing too much fun. I'll just throw it out there. I mean, you know, if everything was flashed up on the screen, were you righteous this week? More than you were before you were a Christian, I sure hope. But God said, righteous! So because God declared us righteous, how about if we become righteous? But one thing I know is when Jesus comes back, righteous. That's a beautiful thing. So if God has declared us righteous, let us behave in a way that comports with what he's already declared to be true. All right, what's next here? Okay. Oh, it's not on the PowerPoint, but it's in my notes, so we're going to do there. Alive in Christ. Romans 6, 8 through 11. See, outside of Christ, what do we see in Ephesians 1? Dead. Spiritually. Dead. How do dead people act? Spiritually, flatlined. And you might have been religious. Flatline. Your spiritual respiration rate? Zero. Unresponsive. Dead. Romans 6, 8 through 11. Now at the time you didn't admit that, right? You felt like you were a pretty good person. But then you found out you're outside of Christ. And God said, dead in sins. But in Christ we are made alive. Romans 6, 8 through 11. Okay. We actually were here already. We had read verses 3 through 6, but we're going to continue in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For you know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has master over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Where? In Christ Jesus. It's like Frankenstein, right? He's alive. It's like Ezekiel 37, right? The valley of dry bones. That was your life. Valley of dry bones. How dry? Very dry. And then God put flesh on the bones, right? But it was still wasn't alive. And then God breathed his spirit into them and they came alive. And when do we receive the Holy Spirit? When we're baptized into Christ. So in baptism, we die with Christ, but we're also raised. And he said, if you've been united with him in a death like his, you'll also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Alive in Christ. Holy in Christ. Redeemed in Christ. Righteous in Christ. Alive in Christ. Point number 5. Okay, this is a great one. Oops, no, I have to go back. It happened again. And besides, I shouldn't have done it at all because I'm not even on that slide. We have to go back one slide. I apologize. Okay, back one. There you go. Yes, because next we're going to talk about being a new creation in Christ. All right? Have you ever done something that you regretted? Have you ever said words that you wished you could have taken back? But guess what? You can't take them back. You can say, I take it back. It doesn't work that way. Maybe you betrayed somebody. Maybe you said a hateful word. Maybe you stole the virginity from somebody. Do you wish you could take it back? Do you wish you could start over again? You know, in Christ, we get a mulligan. You know what a mulligan is? That's an American name. You know what a mulligan is? Yeah. Oh, his name is Mulligan. Yeah, there's another mulligan in the West region, I think, right? Yeah. So I don't know. I guess you don't know this. So if I could use the illustration, I have to explain it. So in America, when they're playing golf, you get one mulligan. That's a do-over. Shoot, in the lake. Now, In an actual match, you don't get a mulligan, but you know, we're humans, we get a mulligan. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. All right, we were just there a minute ago. We're going to go back. Again, 2 Corinthians 3 through 5 is such a deep well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19 says here, therefore, If anyone's in Christ, and I got a question for you. Are you in Christ? Yeah, if you're baptized into Him. You know? You're in that building. I had the house up there in the screen. I forgot to use that illustration. Because believing in Christ, maybe you're pulling up into the driveway. Becoming a disciple, maybe you got a car, you're kind of up on the steps. Repenting, you're kind of walking up to the front door. In fact, if you didn't drive up to the house, get out, go up the steps, go up to the front door, you would have never gotten into Christ. But when do you enter the house? When you're baptized, okay? So anyway, I got too excited. I forgot what I was saying. That's right. I was going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Correct. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Where do we find new life? In Christ. Where do we get a spiritual mulligan? Wiped away. I remember one time, this many years ago, I was in Boulder, and this young lady had been baptized. I really didn't know her, hardly at all. I'd seen her. And right after she was baptized, she was sitting there kind of alone and crying, sobbing. Well, that's a weird thing after she got baptized. And I asked her, what's going on here? She said, I've been a prostitute. I was a prostitute. And she said, I'm a virgin. In Christ. New creation. And by the way, that's not one of those already but not yet things. It's just now. It's right now. The lies, gone. The lost innocence, repaired. God makes us new. So let's live that way. All right, number 6. Are we still on this screen here? I guess I'm not even following the thing up. I need to change my PowerPoint. There's a reason, though. I was teaching yesterday, my computer fell off the stand and it's broken. My computer doesn't work anymore, so I can't really change the PowerPoint. But let's do this. Romans 8 verse 1. Oh, this is so beautiful. Romans 8 verse 1. Are you starting to get the feeling that we have a lot in Christ? It's actually pretty good. Romans 8. By the way, I do have 27 points, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep talking until it's been X amount of time, then I'll just read off the rest, okay? So no, if you multiply how much we've been doing this, 6 times 4.5, so, all right, so no, we're not going to do it that way. I'm on page 6 of my notes already, okay? Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now condemnation for anybody who thinks that they're a Christian. Oh, no. Says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Outside of Christ, you are a dead man, dead woman walking. Right? You know, I don't know. It's terrible. We still have capital punishment in America. I'm not a fan of capital punishment at all. It's like, you killed somebody, so what are we going to do? We're going to kill you. As to prove how bad it is to kill, you know, I'm not a big fan, okay? If you are, I apologize if I just offended you. Alright, but I think the worst thing about being on death row is not that they kill you, it's that you sit there on death row. And all you have to do is look forward to it. The actual event, I haven't been involved in, I'm guessing, well, alright, you know, it's nowadays like taking a nap or something like that. But that's what we were spiritually. Alright? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been declared innocent. And by the way, this is another one that's not already but not yet. It is done. No condemnation. God says, take off those filthy clothes. As he said to Joshua in Zechariah chapter 3. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they were red with crimson, they shall be like wool." Exonerated, declared not guilty. Number 7, chosen by God. So what he's doing, he's reading the PowerPoint, he's going to the slide that actually says the thing I'm doing. Thank you very much. All right? Now, I don't know about you, but in America they have a thing called PE class. So you get the guys, we're playing basketball, and they pick the two jocks, the two, like, you know, whatever, and to be the captains, and then they'd pick the team, you know? Now, I was the guy, I'm saying, oh, shit, I hated that. Because I'd be sitting there like, I'll take Oaks. You know? Even worse than that is they did square dancing in my high school. So the way they did it, they put the girls, like the four like that, and they had the guys go out and pick the partners. Oh my goodness. That's cruelty beyond all cruelty. Cause you know what would happen? There'd be a couple of the ugly, whatever, you know, let's just be real about high school. And they're sitting there, nobody's chosen them. But that was you outside of Christ. But see, with God, you're the MVP. Right? Chosen. God chose you in Christ. Right? Ephesians 1 verse 4. Says, free chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sonship. You know, some of us are natural born children. There's probably one or two of us in the room who are adopted children. Which are we in Christ? Adopted. You know what? My parents didn't choose me. Nope. You know, something happened and 23 plus 23 makes 46 and out I came. You know what I'm saying? They didn't pick me. But God looked at the crowd and it was the square dance thing or whatever the illustration you want. And He said, I want you on my team. You are my son, my daughter. In Him we were chosen, predestined. Let us revel in that fact. God said, I want you. And you kind of look around and, you know, probably, you know, like Paul said, not many of you were very educated or all that sort of stuff, had a whole lot of stuff going, but God picked the lowly. And related to that, next point is children of God. Where? In Christ. Galatians 3:26. We already read it, but I told you we're going to go back there. So we're going to go back there right now. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are children of God. And because we're children, we inherit. You know, we get the keys to the house, the whole shebang, in Christ. God said, my daughter, my son. And that is found in Christ. Now I have to see how long I've been talking, because I think I'm already at the phase where I need to start just talking really fast. Yeah, by the way, we're a new church there in Merced, so I kind of get to preach as long as I want. So I'm used to preaching about 45 minutes, but in America, anything over 30 minutes generally is they start having a little rebellion. All right? So I'm going to start just sort of listing off the other things we have in Christ and maybe making just a couple of comments. In Christ, we have secure love, right? That's Romans 8:38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. By the way, of these things we have in Christ, this is one of the few we had a little bit of before we came to Christ. But outside of Christ, righteousness, zero. Life, zero. Holiness, none. But God actually loved you even before you came into Christ. But we have a deep and secure life. Where is that love found? It is found in Christ. And then we have Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How much peace do we find in Christ? I don't know, because it passes understanding. Outside of Christ, it was a war. It was a battle. But in Christ, we have peace. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. That's not us. That's in Christ. Okay. No, all the fullness of deity does not live in bodily form right here. Okay. Not quite. But look what he says right after that. But in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. That's a deep thought. And then there's Philippians 3, 5 through 11. Paul says, I consider everything a loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, right? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him. We have surpassing worth in Christ. In Christ, you are more valuable than all the land you could purchase in the world. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. We are all one in Christ. This group was not one. I mean, I look around. There's some people that probably wouldn't be hanging out with the other people in this room. But in Christ, we're all one. And 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are made, yes, in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms and has given us every spiritual blessing. In Christ. Every blessing is found in Christ. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festival, new moon celebration, or Sabbath. These things are a shadow of the things that were to come. But the reality is found in Christ. The promised Holy Spirit is given in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. In Christ, the mystery is revealed. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. I'm going to end in 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18, my last point. Believe it or not, that was 27 points. It was, I think, unless I skipped a page. 2 Corinthians 3. And when I wrote the book, and there's three copies back there if you want to pick one up, I hadn't found this one yet. So it's like the unwritten chapter. It's actually written. It's just not in the book yet. It's 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18. So we'll end here. If I went too long, I apologize. All right. But their minds were made dull, talking about the Jews in the Old Covenant. For to this day, the same veil remains when the Old Covenant is ready. It's talking about Moses. Remember, Moses went up on the mountain, he came and his face was glowing so much they put a veil, all right, so that nobody could even see the glory of God. Because, you know, did the Jews want to see the glory of God? No. You go into the Holy of Holies, you're toast, right? No, no, nobody wanted to see. No. Uh-uh. All right? It had not been removed because only in Christ is the veil taken away. In Christ, the veil is removed. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In Christ, the veil has been removed. And we can contemplate the Lord's glory. What's interesting is there in, I think it's verse 17 or 18, it says, we can contemplate the Lord's glory. That Greek word could be contemplate, but it also can be reflect. Because in Christ, we can contemplate the glory of the Lord. And because in Christ, we can contemplate His glory, because the veil has been removed, then we can reflect that glory as well. In Christ, we have redemption, new creation, freedom in Christ, fullness in Christ, peace in Christ, no condemnation in Christ. All these things we have in Christ. And let us celebrate that this morning. Thank you. Now we're going to share the Lord's Supper, yes?